the Lord wants to just talk a little bit today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm feeling in my spirit. He's shared with me a lot of things from the Word this week. And I just want to share some of the things that he shared. Amen. All right. He's a healer. Say a healer. He's a deliverer. Say deliverer. But he's also a sustainer. Say sustainer. He's been keeping us, been keeping this ministry for a lot of years. Amen. Since we've been in this place, what we call our wilderness, say wilderness. And we understand that God will carry us through wilderness so that he can train us and test our faith and see where we are and strengthen us and get us strong so that he can place us in the place that he desires us to be, to do the things that he desires us to do as it relates to destiny, as it relates to promise, or as it relates to purpose. Somebody say amen. Every church in the earth realm, every individual body, as well as the universal church, has purpose. Somebody say purpose. The reason why you can see one church doing one thing in one place and another church local facility doing something in another place is because somebody has tapped into purpose, say purpose, and they are hearing what the Lord would desire them to do in the season where they are at any given time. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now, there are some churches that get stuck in places where God was, but now he's moved on to something else in the desire of the church to do something different. Amen. But it takes us hearing him, say hearing him. Hearing him spiritually in order for us to hear that progression or that transition, if you will, so that we can transition from one place to another. The Lord speaks to me a lot through the children of Israel's trek. Say trek. They were in Egypt, say Egypt. They were in Egypt for 40-something years, which means they were in bondage or in the world for 400-something years, 400-some-odd years, and then the Lord delivered them. Say, delivered them. And then he had an 11-day trip planned for them to go into the promised land, but because of their hard-headedness, their disobedience, their unbelief, it took them about 40 years, say 40 years. 40 years to make that transition from wilderness into promised land. Somebody say promised land. We've been here about 6 years, and I didn't think we'll be here that long, but the Lord is getting ready to transition. Say transition. Now, we understand that according to Scripture, during those 40 years, the Lord took care of those people. Amen. There were some old heads. Say old heads. That was bucking against God so much until he allowed them to pass away, amen. And then there was a younger bunch, that was from the old heads or came through the old heads that God allowed to go into the promised land, say promised land. During that time in the wilderness, say wilderness, God supernaturally provided for his children, amen. He sustained them, say sustained them. Even though they complained about how many times they could get the manna and what they could do with the manna, and they were tired of the manna, et cetera, et cetera, God sustained them or provided for them, glory to God, even though that wasn't his best, say his best, because his best for them was abundance. Somebody say abundance. But he provided for him or them, he sustained them until such time he allowed them to go into the promised land, say promised land. Now, if you read the scriptures very carefully, you'll see that after Moses died, say Moses died. After Moses died, God promoted Joshua. Somebody say Joshua. And God said to Joshua, just like I've been with Moses, I will be with you, amen. But you got to follow the commandments that Moses have given you to follow so that we can, or so that you all can walk into the promised land like God desired you to, amen. So the scripture says that Joshua led the children, say the children of Israel into the promised land, amen. They crossed the Jordan, say the Jordan. We know that God miraculously, say miraculously, opened up the Red Sea for Egypt, glory to God, or for Israel to get away from Egypt, amen. Or for God, for Israel to get away from the Egyptians, amen. When it was time for the children of Israel to go into the promised land, God opened up the Jordan. Say the Jordan. The priest stepped in the Jordan, the Jordan opened up, and the children of Israel went into the promised land. Say promised land. The Bible said that the first place that they encamped when they got over into the promised land was a place called Gilgal. Say Gilgal. They encamped there, and the scriptures teach us that as soon as they got to that place of encampment, the manna stopped. Somebody say the manna stopped. Or God stopped providing for them through manna. Say manna. Well, the question might be raised, well, why did he stop providing them, glory to God, with manna from on high? Amen. It was simply because they had moved from a place where he needed to sustain them daily with manna to a place of abundance. Say abundance. They had entered into the land. Say the land. Flowing with milk and honey. Amen. They had entered into the land that God desire for them to rest in or settle in, so they didn't need, glory to God, the manna anymore, because they had gone into what we would call their wealthy place. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now God's been speaking to me through this. He said to me concerning friendship, say friendship.
Friendship.
He's been sustaining us. Say sustaining us. But sustaining is not his best. You know, we get excited sometimes in the finance room because God has been sustaining us so well. Say, so well.
So well.
You know, the counters, they'll be counting the money sometimes. They'll say, we got a lot of money today. And I tell them, just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because God has been sustaining us so well. Amen. Nothing has been cut off. Nobody has missed payment, as you will. Nobody has missed salaries, et cetera, et cetera. God has taken good care of us in this training place called the wilderness. Somebody say wilderness. But God says he's desiring for us now to move into that place of promise. Amen. So that we can begin to experience not a little bit over what we need. Amen. But more than enough. Amen. God has been very clear. Say clear. To me, as it relates to us entering into our promised land. Say promised land. Sometimes we have to work with people a little bit, because people think sometimes that when you're in a place, that's the permanent place. Say permanent place.
Yeah.
But all places are not permanent as it relates to the Lord. Amen.
Right.
Now, you don't have any problems, you know, in your personal lives. You know, you buy one house. When you get tired of that house, you buy another one. Amen. When you get tired of that house, you transition to another. You don't have problems understanding transition as it relates to our personal lives. Somebody say amen. But when it comes to the church transitioning from one place to another, oftentimes we have problems with that transition. Amen.
Yes.
God never meant for us to be in center point for our settling or for our resting place, if you will. Amen.
Yes.
God has always had a place for us to settle in. Amen.
Yes.
There are some things I know without a shadow of a doubt. One thing is God has another place for us.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Yes.
When the brook dried up, God moved Elijah to somewhere else. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God has another place for us. Amen.
Yes.
And I know without a shadow of a doubt that it's going to be soon when we'll be walking into that promised land. Amen.
Yes.
I know without a shadow of a doubt the place is called Gardendale, Alabama. Amen.
Yes.
I don't have to be concerned whether or not that's the right place or the wrong place, because I'm convinced by God that's the place. Amen.
Yes.
I even know the place that we're going to go. Amen. Like some of you. Glory to God. But I just don't know how he's going to get us there.
Right.
And he said by faith, like I don't have any. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to get us there. As a matter of fact, when I was studying, when he had me reading the book of Joshua just a couple of days ago, and I'm still reading in that book, I saw where he gave the children of Israel a strategy.
Right.
He said, when you go into the promised land, there were some certain things that they couldn't do. Amen. But when they got into the promised land, people were occupying the land. And they had to beat up them folks, run those folks out of the land, because God had given them the land to possess. Amen. And God told them, don't run them all out at the same time, but do it little by little, lest the animals take over the land. Amen. And he didn't want the animals to take over. Amen. So when I read that God gave them a strategy, I said, God, what's our strategy? What's our strategy to go into our promised land? You know what he said? N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then I was still meditating on the fact that we needed a strategy, and God brought back to my memory something that he told me in Psalm number 46. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Amen. And I've had to meditate on that one, because when God says be still, it means that he's doing something and he don't want you to do something. Amen. So it simply means that it's something supernatural that will happen to get you to the place where God desires you to go to. Amen. So I know without a shadow of a doubt where we're supposed to be. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'll lead you to that place. Now, I don't know how long I'll be there after I get there, amen. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has a place for us where there's going to be prosperity for this ministry, amen. And I know some of y'all probably been looking around, looking at the seats, doubting, so on and so forth. But God has a place for this ministry to do the things that he's called this ministry to do, amen. We got to get used to seeing folks that don't look like us. Man, I hadn't said nothing like this in a long time, amen. We got to get used to sitting next to people that don't necessarily, smell as good as we smell, et cetera, because we're going to a place where God is going to use us with a lot of deliverance, if you will, amen. Somebody say amen. He's setting us in a place where people, different ethnic groups, if you will, won't mind visiting. Somebody say amen. But he has a great work for this ministry. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So God, somebody say, God is ready. Somebody say, God is ready. God is ready for us to make that move. Well, Pastor, it ain't enough for us to sustain where he wants us to go. See, that's not our business. See, we think naturally. Say naturally. We've been trained to think naturally. If it don't look like on the books what we think it ought to look like in order for us to do a thing, you know, we sort of shy away. Say shy away.
Shy away.
But in this thing called the kingdom of God, there are supernatural things that happen. Amen.
Yes.
You can be down today in the kingdom of God, and the Lord will have you up tomorrow with things that you didn't have no idea that you would be possessing. Amen. So in this kingdom realm, say kingdom realm,
kingdom.
We have to get to the place where we trust God. Believe what he says. Somebody say believe what he says. Somebody say, believe what he says. No matter what you see. I wish I could just close Christian eyes and just let them meditate on what God said, amen. Because when they open their eyes, a lot of times they allow what they see to hinder them from believing what God has said, amen. Somebody say amen. Some of us walk by sight and not by faith, amen. Some of us have to see in order to believe, amen. But in the kingdom of God, it's a whole different way of thinking, amen. You walk by faith. Say, by faith. Faith is not seeing. Faith is believing. Faith encompasses us holding on until God bring to pass what he says he's going to bring to pass, amen. In the real deal, what I've learned about God and bringing things to pass is already brought to pass. He's just trying to prepare us so that we can receive what he's brought to pass, amen. Because so many times we'll be murmuring, we'll be expressing displeasure when God is trying to move us to somewhere where he wants us to really be and do some things that he really wants done in our lives. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So he's getting ready. Somebody say getting ready.
Amen.
No, we need to get ready. Because God is ready for us to move to another place. But Pastor, you've been saying this. For some years now. That's because I've been believing it for some years. I've had faith for what God has said for years. I'm not going to stop saying what he said just because it don't look like he's doing what he said he's going to do. Amen. When I do that, I express a lack of faith.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's one of the lessons that I've had to learn in this wilderness place. Amen. I've had to learn that you don't talk against what God says if you intended to reap what God desires you to reap, amen. You say what he says, no matter what you see. That's why I said I wish Christians could close their eyes and just meditate on what God said. Because sometimes when we see things that don't look like what God says, we begin to doubt. We begin to back up. And I can tell what you believe by what you say out of your mouth. Well, maybe God didn't. Well, maybe I might have. No, he said what he said. That's only one thing that I know of that we can do and don't please God. A lot of y'all are probably thinking, well, we can disobey and don't please him. Well, I guess you could. But the scripture is very clear. Say very clear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Hebrew 11, 6. Y'all all right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Y'all know I like structured messages. I like to know what I'm going to talk about, but sometimes you just don't know, amen. You just have to submit to the will of God, amen. The Bible, go back to verse number 1. Faith is what? Let's. You want me to stay right there? Faith is what? The confidence that we will do what? Is faith hope? Is faith hope? This is not rhetorical. I'm asking you a question because you ought to know. Is faith hope?
No.
Somebody say no.
No.
But do you have to have hope in order to have faith?
Yes.
Yes. Faith is confidence. But you have to have hope in order to have faith. Amen. You got to be hoping for something. You got to have the confident expectation that something's going to come to pass in order to have faith. Amen. And your faith ought to be in what God said, not necessarily what you've thought up in your head. Amen. So if God has said something to us, we need to hope that we're going to receive it. Or have hope doesn't mean I wish. Hope means confident expectation. Say confident expectation. If God has said something to us, we need to have hope or confident expectation that we're going to receive it. And then we need to have faith until such time as we receive what we're hoping for.
Yes.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
The Bible says faith in the King James translation, faith is substance. Say substance. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. In essence, the faith is the only thing that you have that you're hoping for until such time as you receive it. Does this make sense to you? So God wants us to have faith. Say faith.
Faith.
Somebody say faith.
Faith.
He says, now faith. Give me King James translation because I keep saying now, but I don't see now up there. Amen. Somebody say now. Faith is always now. We've told us that before. We need faith lessons all the time. Faith is always when.
Now.
Somebody say now.
Now.
You have faith when?
Now.
Somebody say now. When you have faith when? Even though hope is future, faith is always now. Because
yes.
I'm always believing God for what he said until such time as it come to pass. Amen.
Yes.
Now, I can't say that. Okay. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence. Say the evidence.
Yes.
The evidence of things what?
Yes.
So faith is the only evidence that you have that God is going to do what he says he's going to do until such time as he manifests that thing in your life. Now, one thing we learned about the promised land was always there. I said the promised land was always there. The promised land was there when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, amen. The promised land was always there, but God had to prepare them for the promised land. Does that make sense to you? They had to be prepared, amen. They had to stop all the murmuring. They had to stop all the grumbling. They had to start believing what God said opposed to what they were taught in Egypt. I said something big right there. I'll say that too, Lord. They had to believe what God said opposed to what they had been taught in Egypt. Amen. And God used a man to teach them what they needed to know new. I don't need no man to teach me. That's not God's pattern. God's pattern is to use humankind, man or woman, to teach us the new things that we need to know. Can I help somebody today? Most times when I'm teaching you word, most times when I'm teaching you scripture, if there's a fight in your head, a lot of time the fight is with what I am teaching opposed to what you've learned prior to me teaching you. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Your past thoughts are fighting with your present teaching, amen.
Yeah.
Or your history is fighting with your present, amen.
Yeah.
And you have to get to the place where you grow up enough to oftentimes put your history aside so that you can receive what God is presently teaching you. I make this point because that was Israel's problem. They were too busy thinking about where they had been, amen, opposed to thinking about what God was trying to carry them, amen. As a matter of fact, once or twice they say, wish you would have left us back there, Moses, amen. Instead of bringing us out here to the wilderness. Wilderness was only a temporary place. It was supposed to be a temporary place, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we have to have faith. Say faith.
Faith.
Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Verse number 2. For by it the elders, say elders, obtain a what? By what? Somebody say by faith. See, I want a good report. I don't know about you. I want a good report. Amen. If I don't even see it happen, I want God to say he had faith for it, even though he didn't see the promise. Amen. Is that making sense to you? Next verse, please. Through faith, say faith. Through faith, we understand that the world, say worlds, worlds were framed by what? The word of God. We have no proof other than what we see. We have no proof that God framed the word worlds other than the fact we read it in the word, amen, and we believe that he did it, amen. We know the worlds exist. That's why some folks believe other things, but we believe that God did it because the word says he did it, amen. Somebody say amen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse number 4. By faith, somebody say by faith.
By faith,
Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know, Cain got mad at his brother and killed him because God accepted his sacrifice and didn't accept his, amen. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. Verse number 5. By faith Enoch was translated, he believed God, that he should not see death, and was not found because, my God, God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he what?
Pleased God.
Well, how did he please God? Somebody said by faith. Next verse, listen to this. But without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
To please who?
God.
Y'all getting a little slow on me this morning. Say without faith.
Without faith.
It's impossible.
It's impossible
to please God.
So
what it takes to please God is what?
Faith.
Somebody said believing.
Believe.
Somebody said trusting.
Trusting.
Somebody said having confidence in him. If you don't trust, have confidence, believe, you can't please God. You know, I'm thinking about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
All right.
Nebuchadnezzar built this big statue, wanted them to bow down to it. They wouldn't bow down. Somebody said some haters. Say haters. Some haters went to Nebuchadnezzar and told on Hananiah, Azariah, and the other one, amen, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, amen. Nebuchadnezzar got mad. Somebody say furious. Say furious.
Furious.
He got furious because they wouldn't bow down. He went to him and told him, look, when the music starts playing, I want you to bow down. They didn't bow down, amen. He got a little bit more furious. He heated up, say heated up. He heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it was normally heated up so that he could throw them into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't obey him. They wouldn't bow down. Say, wouldn't bow down. They wouldn't bow down. He threw them into the fiery furnace. The folks who threw them in there got burned up, amen. They were bound, say bound. Because they were determined they wasn't going to trust anybody but God, amen.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, before they got thrown into the fire furnace, they told Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to be careful to do what you want us to do, amen. Because our God is able to deliver us if you throw us in there, amen. But they say if he don't deliver us, we still know that he's able, amen. So they trusted God. Say, trusted God. They got thrown into the fire furnace, Daniel chapter 3. And the next thing you know, Jesus showed up, amen. Jesus showed up, and loosed them in the fire furnace, amen. They still kept the coat and clothes on and all that kind of stuff. When Nebuchadnezzar looked over in there, he said, did we throw three men in there? He said, now I see four, and one of them looked like what? The Son of Man, amen. So that excited him so much until he went down and called on them to come out, amen. They came out, the clothes wasn't burnt, the hair didn't smell like smoke, and they didn't bow down, amen, because they trusted God. Say, trust God. Here's the picture. If you trust God, God will deliver you into or out of, glory to God, whatever he tried to deliver you into or out of. Somebody say amen. But you got to get to the place where you trust him. And he's never done anything, well, let me just put it this way. He's always gave us a word for everything. So which means you have to trust what he says. If you can't trust what he says, you can't please him. Pastor, I'd rather see some things first. That's not God's way of operating. He always say something first. What he created, he said it first. So we have to get to the point that even if we don't see what we think we should see as it relates to evidence, we still have to believe what he said. Is this making sense to you? This is the way of the kingdom opposed to the natural way. Say natural way. So God is saying, whose baby is that over there? Now, that ain't what God's saying. I'm saying it, amen. So God said he's ready to move us to the next place.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But we can't go in there doubting.
Yeah.
But we got to go in there trusting God. You know what's amazing about God? And I read this. If he can't get one group to believe me, he'll go to another. That's what he did with the Israelites. Well, that's what he said, but we're not there yet, amen. Well, that's what he said. But if the one or two can believe him, guess what? He can do some miraculous things through them, amen. That's what happened to the Israelites. The Israelites were God's chosen folks. He had chosen them to show forth himself through. But he couldn't get them to stay on the same track with him. So he left them and went to the Gentiles. Some folks that would believe him. It's amazing to me. The widow Zarephath was a Gentile, amen. Naaman, that he healed of leprosy, was a Gentile. When there were all these Israelites around him that he could have gone through to show himself through, he chose Gentiles because Israel wouldn't necessarily do what he wanted them to do, amen. I'm just trying to lay it out here like God has given it to me. I mean, if you won't do, he'll get somebody else. Just like his anointing will rest, his anointing will lift. Either lift from here and go to there. And don't try to get in his way. Because he'll move around you or over you to get what he desired done, amen. I don't know what all I'm trying to tell you. But I know one thing that I'm trying to tell you. Is that God is ready to move. Now, if you can't believe what he said, you need to go home and start practicing. You need to look in the mirror and say, I believe. I believe. I believe. Until such time as you believe. Because faith comes by hearing. Say, by hearing. And most things that you believe came by what you heard, amen. So if you just hear yourself saying, I believe, I believe, I believe.
Amen.
At some point, perhaps you will believe. So God. Somebody say, so God.
So God.
What else you want me to say? So God is ready to move us to the next place. Does that mean that we've learned everything? You know, it was amazing to me that And I don't mean to just call, where's Connie? I don't mean to just call you out. Where's Connie? She left. She had to go. Where? If I could just open my eyes, I could see her. Amen. It was amazing to me that, you know, Connie is ushering now. They brought her up the aisle. They brought her over here, told her to look in there. That's not the best way that I like it done, but that serves a good purpose this morning. Amen. I'd like for you to be trained before you put on the job. But God is the kind of God that will train you on the job. So if we had to learn everything that he desires us to learn here, when he moves us to the next place, he'll continue to train. If we're teachable, my God, I hear that. Don't get stuck in what he's done over here, in the way that he's done it over here. Because after he transitioned to the next place, he might do things differently, amen. As a matter of fact, I do know that there are some things that we do now as it relates to the worship experience. We won't do it the same way when we get to the next place. Amen. So don't get stuck in what we do now, because God is forever transitioning. He don't ever change, but he's forever transitioning. Amen. So our mindset needs to be things will change. Somebody say things will change. I know a lot of us don't like change. But change is inevitable. Miss Lucille, how old were you when you were born? You can't answer that, can you? How old were you when you were born? How old are you now?
85.
Somebody say 85.
85.
How big were you when you were born? How big are you now? Change took place. It changed its place. Whether he wanted it to or not, amen. Change took place, amen. So change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. Well, I like the way you did it back in 1997. I like the way I did it back in 1999. But God is, you know, what God would do, he would change the method so that people can receive the message. The message won't change, but the method will. You know, when we were coming up, you know, you hear him recording, me and Vicky recording, we'd call one another on the telephone and we'd talk our message. You rap on the telephone, I rap on the telephone. We talk our message. Times change. Say, time change. We move from the house line to the cell phone line.
Yes.
We move from talking to texting.
Yes.
We move from texting to Instagramming.
Yes.
We move from Instagram to Facebook, etc. I probably got a little of it out of the way. But the method changed, but you were still able to get your message across. Amen. So when we move to the next place, the method of getting the message out might change. I might go back to hooping again. I don't know. Or teaching might become a little bit more advanced. But however God desired to get his message across by method, say method, we need to be ready to receive. I went to the Baptist church yesterday. Went to a funeral yesterday. Oh my God, the dude blessed my socks off almost. Amen. Some kind of preacher. Say some kind of preacher. And the method that he used was so simplistic until anybody and everybody could have received the message. Nothing but word. Nothing but anointed word. The method was a little bit different from the way that I would normally do it, but the message was gotten across, amen. We need to remember that God gives the message, and he will always give us a method to reach the people that he has us ministering to, amen. I might not preach like Mike McClure Jr., whichever one it is, Mike Jr. I might not preach like the man over there, Christian Valley, Dr. Cable, but God will give me the word or give me the method to reach. That's why preaching changed from time to time, amen. I started one way, now I'm another way. God will anoint us with a method that we need to reach the people. I had no idea I was going to tell you this, to reach the people that he desired to reach. Amen.
Yeah.
So don't get caught up in the past.
Yes.
When the method changed. I might get up one Sunday and give you a PowerPoint presentation. Or I might get up one Sunday and I might text you a message. Amen. But you'll get the message nonetheless. Let's not get caught up in the method of yesteryear. But let's receive the method that God has given today. Here again, that's what happened to the Israelites. They got caught up in yesterday. See, God said this, you can't put new wine in old wineskins, amen. Because old wineskins can't handle new wine, amen. In order for it to put new wine in a wineskin, the wineskin got to be new, or the wineskin needs to be changed, amen. In order for you to receive new methods, your way of thinking has to change. In order for me to receive new methods, our way of thinking needs to change. And your way of thinking shouldn't be, my method is the only method. Am I making sense to you? You know, Michael, you're trying to get something across to Kathy. The way you did it last week might not work this week. It didn't. He said it didn't. So you got to ask God, okay, God, give me another way. Say another way. I remember when I was raising that one right there. You know, for years, man, I'm the dad, you know, I'm toting the big stick. You know, I did it like, you know, most African-American dads do. You know, you force it down. Somebody said force it down. And when he got to be 18, I couldn't force it down. Like I forced it down. You know, he was realizing that he was growing up into a man. So I couldn't force it down like I was forcing it down. So when I realized that I couldn't force it down like I was trying to force it down, I asked the Lord, and I'm telling you, I asked the Lord, Lord, what can I do to get this boy, and I might have said this boy, to receive what I'm trying to teach him? And the Lord said, you need to come up with two ways of doing this thing. You need to show him two avenues and show him the consequences to each avenue and then give him the choice to choose. That worked. When I was trying to force feed him at 18, he didn't receive. But when I started giving him choices, most time he chose the right choice. I had to give him the choice, the consequence, you choose. You can go to the left, you can go to the right, but here's the consequences to either one. The message didn't change, but the method did. The message was getting him to do right. The message was getting him to be productive. The message was to get him to follow the ways of the Lord, amen. But the method had to change in order for him to receive the message. So God is saying to us, he's ready to move us. God is saying he's ready for us to go to the next place. But God is also saying to us, thank you, Teresa Langford. God is also saying to us, this ain't that. And that ain't this. Which means that some things will be different. Methods will change. So I guess God is trying to prepare us for the move today. Somebody said for the move. I didn't know what he was talking about for a while. I just said what he said, amen. He's getting us ready for the move. I might come in here next Sunday and tell y'all, okay, in a month, we're out of here. Well, it might be the next Sunday. I might tell you, look, we're moving on such and such a date. The Sunday that you come to church, I want you to wear your jeans and a T-shirt, because after service, we're going to pack so we can be ready to move out the next day, amen. All right. I don't need you to lay out. Because we asked you to do a little work, amen. We need you to show up with your jeans, your shorts, and your T-shirts on so we can be ready to work. We need to be ready to move. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So God's getting ready to move us. Thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful. Because I ain't going to say that. You got a question later?
Well, through your understanding.
Hold a minute. 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 Hold your question. Now, hold your question for a minute. Now, when we move to the next place, y'all been used to doing this. You might not be able to do this at the next place, amen. But don't get mad at me because I can't let you talk at the next place, amen. Just write your question down and see me after service, amen. Yeah. It could change. Somebody say it could change. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, well, I'm understanding what you're saying.
You are.
All right, the people laughed at Noah when he told them about the flood.
Boy, that preaching, amen.
Now, you tell them up. So, you tell them up. We're going to get ready to move.
The people laughed at Noah when God said, "I'm going to destroy the earth." Amen. But nonetheless, He did it. Amen. What but a few people say? Somebody say, "Say." And God said it through a man. He could have just parted the sky and said, "Hey," but He said it through a man. So, I don't know what I was saying, Larry, before you got up, but anyway. So God is trying to prepare us. They prepare us for the move. And I don't know about y'all, I'm ready for the move. I'm closing, but I was praying the other day. And if you would have heard me praying, you probably would have thought I was mad. I wasn't mad, I was passionate. I told the Lord, things are seemingly stale to me these days. I need something new. I need a change. I didn't know that there was probably Him prompting on the inside of me to feel the way that I was feeling, so that He could show me some things that He desired to show me. It's not Him. Yeah. That's a good place to say what you just said. Like, you know, if the seed ain't producing what it's supposed to produce, it ain't Him. It ain't the seed. It's the ground. Say the ground. So I voiced my opinion to the Lord. And I made sure, Lord, I'm not angry. I just feel like we need something fresh. The Lord began to deal with me about some things. And then the other day I was talking to Velva. Where is Velva in here? I was talking to Velva. About financing and all that kind of stuff for the next property. And I told her I had to go to court this week. You know, I walked in on that burglary out at the church that God has given us, and God said He's given us that place. And I guess I must be the key witness, so I got to go to court this week. And I said, Bill, I know the folks going to be asking me when we're going to sit down with them and talk to them about what we are able to pay them for that facility. And I said, I'm going to tell them, and right when I said, I'm going to tell them, the Lord hushed my mouth. And then it was the next morning where the Lord began to deal with me again about the fact I've given you that land belongs to you, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, I ain't got to say nothing. But we're coming. The Lord has promised us this, and we will take possession of it. So somebody say amen.
Amen.
If I didn't have faith, say faith. He'd move me out for the next guy. I don't care how faithful I've been. If I couldn't believe what He desired to do in the midst of this congregation and start spewing out stuff that was contrary to what He would desire me to say, He'll move me out for the next man. I don't intend to be moved until such time as God is ready for me to move. So I'm going to believe even if you don't. I'm going to say what God would have me to say about any given situation, even if you don't. Because I understand that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And I want to please Him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So hopefully you got something out of all this. Hopefully you're preparing in your mind for the next place. And I hear that, Lord. And some of you all that have gotten accustomed to sitting, maybe sitting won't be your place anymore. Because there's much work to do. Say, much work to do. Just from the worship experience perspective. You know, we have nursery, we have children's church, we have youth church, we have children's ministry. You know, maybe the first two or three weeks, I might preach to less people than I've preached to in the past, because all of us will be working somewhere, amen.
Yeah.
But we got to get prepared to work. Say work.
Work.
Pastor, I'm old. I can't do what I used to do. But what you can do, you can do. Amen. Does that make sense to you? So our minds got to get wrapped around doing. Somebody say doing. I mean, how hard is it to rock a baby? You can sit down and do that. And when I look at this crowd over here, most of y'all got a lot of experience in rocking babies. Amen. You know, if Caleb and Joshua would have taken the attitude, Lord, we're too old to work, they wouldn't have got anything done. I think both of them was about 80 when the Lord really started doing some stuff to them. So our mindsets need to change about transition. Our mindsets need to change about moving. Our mindsets need to change about working, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I don't want to have to come to you and say, we need you to do this. And I've been in the church 56 years, Pastor, and I worked for 40 of them years. I'm just tired. I don't need to hear that from you. I need to hear you say, yes, sir, or yes, and we're going to get it done.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, that ain't my calling. Okay, you stand here until the person who called can get here to do this job. Amen. It sounds fun and it sounds hard, but that's reality, amen. God didn't call me to be a custodian in the church, but since I've been pastoring, I've cleaned up. God didn't call me to go to the store and pick up stuff in the church. He called me to pastor, but I've gone to the store. God didn't call me to be the audio man, but I've been the audio man. God didn't call me to be the usher. He called me to be the pastor, but I've been the usher. You. Team players work wherever they need to work in order for us to get done what we need done, amen. I don't cut grass no more. We don't need you to cut it no more, but we need you to cut it now. Now. Give a couple of weeks, we'll have somebody else to cut it, but now we need you to help. God didn't call me to cut the grass, but I've been on the lawnmower over at the old church cutting it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
God called me to do whatever needs to be done for us to get to the place he wants us to be. So God is preparing us. Prepare. Come on in. Come on in. God is preparing us. You've been resting for 6 years. Now it's time to do a little work. I'm closing for the third time. Got a lot of bathrooms where we're going. Ain't got a whole lot of money to pay a lot of custodians. But I know a lot of us know how to clean bathrooms. That's right, buddy. That's right. That's right. So we got to get our mind wrapped around work. Somebody say work.
Work.
Even if it's just temporary for some of us. We got to get our mind wrapped around doing. Somebody talk to me about the 20-80 principle. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Well, we need to change that principle. We need 100% of the people doing 100% of the work. Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Is there anything else you want me to say, God? God said he bless you. Amen. God bless you. Somebody say he bless us.
He bless us.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Amen.